Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host this evening and every Spiritual Hollywood show. And I want to give some gratitude over to BBS Radio, Seth, and Don Newsom for providing such a wonderful platform to raise consciousness using Hollywood. Spiritual Hollywood truly is a gift. And to have such wonderful guests on as my guest this evening is a real treat. His name is Gary Reynard. I'm sure those of you who have not heard of him will run out and buy his book as soon as you finish listening to this show. If you want to go to Gary's website, it is www.garyrenard.com. That's garyrenard.com. And Gary Reynard is the best-selling author of The Disappearance of the Universe and Your Immortal Reality. And he was born in the historic North Shore of Massachusetts. He became a successful professional guitar player, but during the harmonic convergence of 1987, he heard a calling and began to take his life in a different direction. At the beginning of the 1990s, he moved to Maine, where he underwent a powerful spiritual awakening. As instructed, he slowly and carefully wrote Disappearance over a period of 9 years. In the fall of 2003, after much encouragement from other speakers and students, Gary began to present talks and workshops in public. His speaking career took off remarkably fast, and today he lectures internationally. Combining a disarming sense of humor and radical cutting-edge metaphysical information and experiential exercises, Gary has been described as one of the most interesting and courageous spiritual speakers in the world. Over the past 5 years, he's spoken in 41 states, 13 countries, and was a keynote speaker at the International A Course in Miracles Conference in Salt Lake City, Utah, and San Francisco. Gary is also the most recent recipient of the Infinity Foundation Spirit Award, and this award is given to a person who's made a meaningful contribution to personal and spiritual growth. Past recipients include Dan Millman of The Peaceful Warrior, Ram Dass, Gary Zukav, James Redfield of The Celestine Prophecy, and Neil Donald Walsh of Conversations with God. And without further ado, I'd love to invite you to now welcome Gary Reynard to the show. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Kate. It's great to be on your show again.
Yeah, nice to have you. Thanks for making the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This is such an exciting time for us, for our country, for the world. It's the beginning of the shift of a major cycle today. As you know, it's there are such great things going on that I'm psyched. I'm actually absolutely psyched.
Yeah, I have been all day, too. And the 1111 Gateway is just a wonderful opportunity for people to awaken everywhere. And those people who are still unconscious to a certain degree and still sleeping are going to be feeling pretty intense for the next 10 days because of this 1111 Gateway.
Oh, I think that's true. I think that you and I, because I read your email today, and we actually both realized the same thing in a different way, because I was taught by my teachers, Art and Persa, that today, 1111 would be the beginning of this shift of a cycle. This is the beginning of where the whole 2012 thing starts to happen, where you actually start to turn the battleship around, if it were. You know, it's like you can't do something like that on a dime. It takes a while.
You know what's very funny, Gary? I just have to interject this. I'm smiling so big because I've used the terminology for the past 3 days of turning a cargo ship around. You can't just zip it around. You need miles and miles to turn that thing around to go back in the other direction. And that's what the time is for.
I think that's so true. And you look at the election last week, you look at what being taught by my teachers, which is that the United States in the future is going to begin to cooperate more with the rest of the world in solving global problems.
Yeah.
So it's like, these things we're challenged with climate change and everything, it's like the United States is going to begin to stop being the problem and start being the solution.
Absolutely. You know? I feel it. Everyone feels it. I went down to vote 2 weeks before November 4th at the county registrar's office just to make sure that I got to vote and I didn't get too busy or the lines were too long because I wanted it to count. And I know that if I hadn't voted before, then there's some onus on me for not having my voice be heard. So my voice was definitely heard this year, and my son voted for the first time as well.
Oh,
and the person we voted for is now our president, and we're very pleased.
Well, it's awesome. I voted for the same guy. And yep. This was my first time ever voting in California because I lived my entire life in New England. And, I went to vote down the street here. I'm in Brentwood. And, it's like there was a festive atmosphere and people were happy. They didn't mm-hmm. really mind waiting in line. You could just feel the energy. You could feel
yeah.
that something important was happening.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I feel really good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm not going to say that politics is the most important thing in the world because I think what's the most important thing for all of us is our relationships and how, we work that out and whether or not we practice our forgiveness opportunities and things like that. But at the same time, I think that it helps to participate, even if it is an illusion, as the Buddhists and the Hindus have always said, even if it is just a dream, as the Course in Miracles teaches. At the same time, it's fun to participate. I think an analogy that I like to use is that when I go to the movies, I know it's not real,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't stop me from enjoying it.
Right. You suspend belief. You suspend reality and suspend disbelief.
In fact, I'm going to a Hollywood premiere movie tonight.
Which one?
I'm so psyched about. It's called Slumdog Millionaire. It's a comedy.
Uh-huh.
And, I just love being here. I mean, I've only been in Hollywood for, a year and a half, and I think it's great that this show is called Spiritual Hollywood because I've met so many spiritual people here.
Yeah.
And there's a huge spiritual community.
Yeah.
And when I came here, I didn't know what to expect. I was told, well, people, they won't be friendly. They won't look you in the eye and stuff like that. And what I've found is that there are people here who are very friendly, and it feels like family. Me.
Right.
I've had such great experiences. I went to see Madonna last Thursday night at Dodger Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first time ever going there, and she performed, and there was Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears also performing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I didn't know what to expect when I went there, and the show that I saw was absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I had no idea that Madonna was so talented and that she was such a great dancer and had so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, she's 50 years old and she can just blow anybody away
right.
with her energy. And it was a great experience. And I'm just having so many good experiences being here. If you told me 2 years ago that coming to California would have been such a great experience for me, I don't think I would have believed it. And
well, I can tell that California is good for you because you've got a new look that's very California.
That's true. That's true. But there's a reason for that. It's because your hair is the first part of you that becomes enlightened.
Ah. Well put. Well put. I wanted to create a line of hats that are called people shades because when your lights come on, you need a lampshade. So, and that would give everyone attitude. So, I understand about the enlightened hair part, and it's a good look. It certainly suits Brentwood and Santa Monica area, most definitely. And I'm glad that you're feeling welcome here. I think that's important, to have our spiritual leaders and visionaries feel comfortable everywhere is really key, and to have you living in California and in Brentwood, which is very nearby, is just wonderful. And I know a lot of our spiritual leaders and visionaries live in other parts of the country, like many of them are in Oregon and many of them are in other places. And California, for some reason, seems to attract all kinds of people who are following a calling. And a lot of them feel that it's acting. When actually I believe that acting is kind of a ministry because you're helping people get in touch with their emotions by your truthful performance and showing your own emotions as a character. What do you feel about that being this a spiritual Hollywood? What would you say to the actors who are listening, there are very many listening, on how they can apply your philosophy and your teachings to their careers?
Well, I would agree with you completely that acting is like a ministry. And you have such an influence on people, sometimes you don't even realize it, but you're reaching so many people. Now, one of the reasons I'm here, and it's interesting you should mention acting, because one of the things that I'm up to and trying to accomplish here is to get my books made into a TV series.
Nice.
And I've been contacted by a lot of actors who are interested in helping with that. And I think it would be such a great way to share the kind of a message that is being put out there by my books. And I think that, you know, for people who haven't read my books, I should mention that I'm not the teacher in my books. I'm just a student. And that there are a couple of great teachers named Arkin and Persa who 2,000 years ago were two of the original disciples of Jesus. And what we're going to do in this TV series, we're going to flash back to 2,000 years ago, and also cover today and the future as well. But it's going to be holographic, so that we'll see how all three of those lifetimes are connected, as well as other lifetimes. And, you know, it's going to be a little different. I mean, we're going to show Jesus who's married, who was married to Mary Magdalene.
Mm-hmm.
We'll show them making love with each other. It'll be controversial.
Wow.
But at the same time, what Jesus did was he had normal relationships, which is why I brought up the subject of relationships earlier, because he had a normal life. You know, he had these people in his life that were normal relationships, and he had forgiveness opportunities because of those relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the way that you look at it. You know, it's all about your perception. And if you can change the way that you're looking at it from what I would call, and what A Course in Miracles would call, the ego's thought system, and switch over to the Holy Spirit's thought system, if you will, which is an entirely different way of looking at it, because it's a completely uncompromising brand of love and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
If you can switch over, then you yourself will change your perception of yourself. The reason for that is because of two things, which I'll cover very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, our unconscious mind knows everything,
mm-hmm.
absolutely everything.
Yes.
There's not one piece of information in the universe of time and space that our unconscious mind is not aware of. We may not be conscious of it, but the unconscious mind knows everything. Then one of those things that it knows, and this is something that was taught by Buddha before Jesus, is that there's really only one of us here. You know, it may look like there are billions of us, but that's
mm-hmm.
a trick of the ego. That's an illusion, as the Hindus would call it, the world of multiplicity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, our unconscious mind knows that there's really only one of us here because it knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that we look at other people, we may think that it has to do with them. It has to do with other people. But the truth is, whatever we think about somebody else is really just going to us, because there's really only one of us here.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever we're thinking about somebody else is going to determine how we feel about ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and what we think about ourselves, and even ultimately what we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jesus was so uncompromising in his love and his forgiveness, because
mm-hmm.
he realized that the way that he was looking at other people would really just determine how he felt about himself, and ultimately even what he believed he was. And once you understand that, and once you know that, then I would think that you'd want to get pretty careful about the way you think about other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that you're really doing is determining how you feel about yourself, and also even ultimately what you believe you are. So if you're looking at people and thinking of them as being nothing less than God, for example,
mm-hmm.
being the divine spirit, then ultimately you will believe that that's what you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really just setting yourself up, and you know, people, and they wonder why they're depressed, and they just don't understand it's because of these thoughts that they've been having their whole life that actually determines how they feel about themselves. They just didn't realize that whatever they were putting out there wasn't really going to another person,
mm-hmm.
that it was actually just going to them. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's why Jesus would say things like, "Judge not, that ye be not judged, for with the mm-hmm. judgment you pronounce, you will be judged,
right.
and the measure you give will be the measure you get." It's like whatever you're putting out there, even if you don't realize it, it's just going to you. So if I'm driving here in L.A. and somebody cuts me off in traffic and I go, "Oh, that son of a," you know, and
right,
that
right.
person out, I don't realize that I just called myself that. You know,
right.
And not only that, but it'll determine how I feel about myself.
Right.
And once you understand that completely and start to get a hold of it, then what you can do is completely change the way that you feel about yourself, and ultimately even change what you believe you are. You can actually transform from the experience of being a body and being a separate being to being nothing less than all of it. You can actually start to recognize your divinity and become nothing less than God, which is what Jesus did.
Right.
And it all has to do with the way that you look at another person. So Jesus would look at any person as being nothing less than God, and ultimately that's how he came to feel about himself.
Right. Wow, it's just so synchronistic that you're saying this right now. I have a Katieism that synchronicity is divinity showing off.
That's cool.
And what I'm getting is, lately I've been feeling uncomfortable towards a couple of people in my life, and I know that they're placed in my life to help me learn patience and help me learn forgiveness. Yet at the same time, I notice that when I feel badly toward them, when they do something that's just I can't believe because it's mean-spirited, it occurs for me as mean-spirited, and I feel badly toward them, and I notice that immediately, that second I feel badly toward them, I feel badly towards myself. And it's tangible, just how quickly I feel bad about myself when I feel bad about someone else. So what you're saying is absolutely spot on and a wonderful message for me this evening because I've been grappling with that. And yeah. It makes perfect sense. And, you know, it's like if you're seeing, for instance, someone says, wow, Gary, I really, really love your work. I really get what you're saying. I really resonate with your spirit. I really understand you. It's what they're doing really is recognizing what's present in you because it's also present in them.
Oh, I think that's so true. I think that, the way that you treat other people is really a reflection of how you feel about yourself. You know, those people who are not very nice or very mm-hmm. kind to you actually hate themselves. They may not realize it. But then what they're doing is they're projecting that onto you, like mm-hmm. like you're the problem instead of them. But it's really a reflection of how they feel about themselves. And that's why I think that the Buddhist idea of being kind to other people is so important, because it's really just a reflection of how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to be able to do that much more easily the more that you forgive. Because as you forgive, yes, as I said, it may look like you're forgiving another person in kind of like putting it out there in such a way that it's about them. But the truth is, it's really just going to affect you. So mm-hmm. if you're going through life seeing people with love and kindness, then eventually that can't help but be the way that you're going to feel about yourself. You're going to feel that you are loved, that you are kind, that you are forgiven. What happens as you do this is that the Holy Spirit is actually removing this unconscious guilt from your mind and healing your mind in such a way as to bring you home. It's like you're returning to oneness, if you will. I think that every time Jesus forgave somebody, it was like he was rejoining with himself.
Right.
He was actually becoming one again. He was going from a state of separation and division back to a condition of oneness and wholeness. It's like he put it in the Gospel of Thomas. You know, he says, I am the one who comes from what is whole. And the word holy, of course, comes from the word whole.
Mm.
And he said, therefore I say, if one is whole, one will be filled with light. But if one is divided, then one will be filled with darkness.
Right.
And it's kind of like there's no wiggle room in there. You can't be a little bit whole. So it's kind of like what you want to do is see everybody as being this perfect oneness. It's
mm-hmm.
what A Course in Miracles, which is that great spiritual teaching, which is given by Jesus for those who don't know. And it's kind of like what the Course is teaching is that you can return to that condition of oneness and wholeness and return to spirit, which is what you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that frightens people sometimes because people believe that they're giving something up when they go home.
Mm.
And they're actually not. I mean, people, they'll get into this kind of spirituality and they'll think, if it's all an illusion and if it's not true and if I'm going to go back to spirit and if I'm not a body and all that, then it means that I have to give up my relationships and my fun and my money and sex and my Mercedes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I get news from, 30, 40 years from now, they're going to have to do that anyway.
Right.
Because the body isn't going to last forever.
Yeah, we're just borrowing everything.
Yeah, so why not use that, 30 years or whatever, to build something that will last forever? And the irony here is that you get to have the other stuff, too.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus talked about building your house upon the sand and the rock and the difference between the two of them, he didn't mean that you couldn't have the sand. He just meant that the rock was something that was going to last forever, and that's what you should be concentrating on. And the other stuff, well, you can have that too. There's nothing wrong with having the Mercedes. There's nothing wrong with having, the mansion in Beverly Hills or wherever you want to live.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with all that stuff. I mean, if you think that you're guilty for having that stuff, that's making it just as real to your unconscious mind as if you want it. It's like two sides of the same coin. And so it's okay to have all that stuff. And the truth is you don't have to give up anything. You can have a normal life. And the only difference is that you're looking at it differently. You're interpreting it now with the Holy Spirit instead of with the ego. That's the only difference. You don't have to give up a damn thing. The only thing is you're looking at it differently. And that's the beauty of this kind of spirituality, because on top of that, what it does is it undoes this thing that we'll call the ego. But, you know, we can just think of the ego as being the idea of separation, that somehow we've separated ourselves from our source, that we're not one with our source anymore. You could think of that as being the idea of the ego. So now that's based on separation instead of oneness and wholeness.
Yeah, edging God out.
Yeah, yeah. And what we do by looking at things differently is we undo that thing called the ego, which is a classic spiritual approach that was used by Buddhism and is used by Hinduism and is used by A Course in Miracles, which would define it as, removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And by, undoing that idea, then eventually what happens is the real you, which is spirit, which is oneness, and which is wholeness, eventually is all that's left.
Mm.
So the beauty of that is that you don't have to struggle to be what you already are.
Right.
You already are love. You already are, as the Course in Miracles says, teach only love, for that is what you are. You're already that. You're already perfect. You don't have to evolve. You don't have to get better. You don't have to try to be more loving. You don't have to try anything except to undo the false you. And if you undo the false you, then eventually the real you is going to be all that's left.
Right.
And that's the beauty of this approach, that you don't have to struggle. All you have to do is undo, the false you. As the Course says, salvation is undoing. And you do that, and the rest will take care of itself.
Right, right. Now, I'd like to ask you this question, Gary. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering. We were talking earlier about what you think of other people is what you really think of yourself. When people who obviously hate themselves, as you were saying, come at you and they're projecting their hate of themselves onto you, how do you deal with that in the moment when it just feels so crazy-making? I mean, are you able to instantly forgive because forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do? Or how do you handle that yourself?
Well, that's an excellent question. And the thing that you've got to get is that you're going to be coming from a place of cause instead of effect. That's why A Course in Miracles says that this is a course in cause and not effect. What if what we're seeing is not really true? What if what we're seeing is more like a movie?
Mm-hmm.
And what if it's actually coming from us?
Mm-hmm.
For example, let's say that what we're seeing is a projection. Let's say the projector is hidden, just like in a movie theater. So you're in a movie theater, and somebody up on the screen starts yelling at you and cursing you out and saying terrible things about you. Well, you wouldn't take it very seriously.
Right.
Because it's just a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real, and that's what we're seeing. What we're seeing is not really there. What we're seeing is not true. And that's extremely difficult to get.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get it, then you can start to look at it differently. Because now you're saying, okay, there's a projector. And if I really want to change what's on the screen there, it's not going to do me a lot of good to fool around with the screen. What I have to do is I have to find that projector. And
right.
I have to change what's in the projector. If I changed what was in the projector, then I would be dealing with the cause instead of the effect.
Mm-hmm.
And now I would have real power. Now I would have the power to actually change what's in my mind, which is where that projector is hidden. People don't realize that the projector is hidden in their unconscious mind.
Mm.
And then what they're seeing and what they're viewing is being done with the conscious mind. So there are different levels of the mind there. And one of them is what they're aware of, which is the conscious mind, which is what everybody thinks is important. But that's not really what runs them. What really runs them is what's hidden. What really runs them is part of the mind that they can't see.
Right.
Which is hidden in the unconscious mind. And what we need to do is we need to get in touch with that. We need to get in touch with the deeper part of the mind, which is where everything that we're seeing is coming from. And then we can realize that we're the ones who are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like A Course in Miracles says, the secret of salvation is but this, that you are doing this to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It may look like it's being done to us, but people think that they're victims when they're not. As A Course in Miracles says, I'm not a victim of the world I see. People think that they're victims, and because they believe that, then there are a lot of other things that follow from that, kind of way of thinking, which, for example, would be that if I'm a victim, then anger is justified.
Right.
But if it's coming from me, and if I'm the one who's doing it, then, as A Course in Miracles says, anger is never justified.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's never justified is because we're the ones who made the whole thing up in the first place. So I think the reason that Buddha and Jesus were different than other people was that they realized that the world was not being done to them. It was being done by them.
Mm-hmm.
They realized that it was coming from them. Now, if it's being done to you, then it puts you in a reactionary state of mind.
Right.
And you have to respond to it, and then all kinds of things happen. But if it's coming from you, and if you can get used to looking at it that way, where it's actually coming from you and that you're the one who is doing it, then it eventually becomes impossible to ever react to the world the same way that you used to. It almost becomes impossible to ever look at the world the same way again. So it's reversal. It's what A Course in Miracles would call a thought reversal.
Mm.
And the Course says the thinking of the world must be reversed.
A paradigm shift.
And if we do that, then it becomes, you know, very difficult to respond the same way. And so now anger is never justified. Well, it would also mean that violence would never be justified.
Right.
As A Course in Miracles says, what we're seeing is an outer picture of an inward condition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, the more we think about it that way, the more that you suffer less, the more you kind of like become a forgiving kind of a person and a loving kind of a person, it changes everything, and it feeds on itself.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you could have a world where just naturally you wouldn't have the violence and you wouldn't have the outer conflict, because that outer conflict is simply there because of the inner conflict. And if you heal the inner conflict through forgiveness, then the outer conflict has to disappear.
Right.
You know, and that's when the lion lies down with the lamb.
Mm.
You know, because we think that, you know, they're naturally in conflict with each other, but they're not naturally in conflict with each other. They're simply symbolic of an inner conflict, and if you heal that, then the outer conflict would disappear.
That's wonderful. So with this book that's coming out on March 10th, Love Has Forgotten No One, The Answer to Life, what inspired you to write this book? Was this a book also that came through you, or how did you come up with this new book that's coming out?
Yeah, the reason it's called Love Has Forgotten No One.
I love that title.
I do too, and it's based on a couple of lines in A Course in Miracles.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, that title has to do with the experience that a great spiritual teaching like A Course in Miracles is directed toward.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, what this is about is experience. You know, people, they see something like A Course in Miracles. It looks very intellectual at first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks like it's very complicated, and the main reason for that is because it was originally given to these New York intellectuals, and if you give them something, you know, simple, then they won't listen.
So, right.
You know, it's like, you know, this looks very complicated, but if you start to look at it more closely, then you realize that the Course itself is saying that it's simple. In
mm-hmm.
fact, it uses the word simple, I believe, 158 times.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's simple is because it's saying that, yeah, it may look like there are a billion things out there to choose between, but the truth is there are only two things, and only one of them is real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have reality, which is God or spirit, and then you have everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a simple idea, but it's very difficult for people
mm-hmm.
to get. It's like the truth is simple, but it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why Nietzsche said that there was only one Christian and he died on the cross. You know, because it's so difficult to be like Jesus. It's so difficult
yeah.
to say, look, I'm not going to compromise on this for an instant. You know, I'm going to go with this all the way.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately that's what something like A Course in Miracles is saying. And my teachers in my books, The Disappearance of the Universe, of course, was the first book, and that was really my life in the 1990s. It took place
mm-hmm.
over a period of 9 years. The second book, Your Immortal Reality, took place more recently after, you know, I had become a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also see that I did not want to become a speaker. In fact, I didn't want to. And my life has changed so much
mm-hmm.
Since, you know, I became, you know, an author. And now with this third book, what that is about is really the experience that the Course is directed toward. Now, what that experience is an experience of spirit But I think that I need to clarify that a little bit, because people, you know, sometimes they hear the word spirit and they think of themselves as being kind of like a soul, which is a separate idea. That's mm-hmm. actually a separation idea.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't, you know, they don't consider that. But I think the kind of spirit that somebody like, you know, Jesus would be into would be something that would not be part of it. It would be something that is all of it. It would be something that is whole and full and complete. Now, the experience of that is what we're going for, because that's the only thing that will ever really make us happy. You know, words can't do it. Theology can't do it. You know, it's kind of like my words can't do it. You know, it's at one point, A Course in Miracles says that words are but symbols of symbols. You know, mm-hmm. twice removed from reality. And there's this great part in the workbook. There are three books in one in A Course in Miracles, for those who don't know. And there's one part in the workbook, and this does take some effort on our part. That's why it's called a workbook.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a discipline. And Jesus, at one point, is talking about these very, very difficult questions that we all have. For example, I'll be doing a workshop, which I do every week, and we'll have a question and answer session. And somebody will ask a question like, how did I get here? You know, and I'll say something like, well, you know, according to A Course in Miracles, you're not here.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, yeah, I know, but how did I get here? And it's kind of like a circular thing.
Yeah.
And Jesus is talking about these kinds of questions. And at one point, he says in the workbook of the Course, there is no answer, only an experience. Seek only this, and do not let theology delay you. And what he's saying there is that the real answer to our most difficult questions in life is not going to come to us in the form of words. You know, it's going to come to us in the form of an experience. And that experience is an experience of what we really are and where we really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that experience is full and whole and complete. That's why I say that that's the only thing that will ever really make us happy. That is the best experience that you can have while you appear to be here in a body. That is the great mystical experience that all the mystics of history have talked about, of being one with your source, of being no different than God. It's like the Tao, which is absolute stillness because it's already perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you evolve into. It's an experience of what you really are and where you really are. And it's that experience that is the answer to all of our questions, because the questions disappear in that experience. They no longer exist. In that experience, there are no questions. Of course, Marcos describes it as the complete but temporary suspension of doubt and fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's no such thing as doubt or fear or anything in that experience except this perfect oneness, which is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have a taste of it, then you can never go back all the way. I mean, yeah, you might have problems still, and you may still have to do some work. But once you have that experience, then you know what the end result is going to be like.
I had that yesterday.
Cool.
I did. I was kvetching about some of those people who don't like themselves and were projecting that at me. And I found myself just going, rah, 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 you know, why are they doing that? Rah, rah, rah. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I felt like I was just floating, and I got all giggly, and I realized, oh, my gosh, I'm in this physical body. I'm in these physical shoes. This is a party. All that stuff is just noise. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I wonder if this is what happened to Eckhart Tolle. I wonder if this is what happened to a lot of people. They experience this feeling. And I thought, what if I stay this way? Wow, that would be amazing. And I honestly had that experience for the very first time in my life yesterday. And I'm still buzzing from it. And I do want to vibrate at the frequency of God and be pure divine intelligence. And it's in the trying to be that that keeps me from being that, to realize I am that already, is the way to get there. And
that
to be
awesome.
That.
That sounds like a great experience, and I'm very happy about that.
And you're right. This is a very synchronistic interview. Everything you're saying, either I said already yesterday and a few days before, or experienced it myself in going through this issue with the people, you know, I'm wondering, am I causing their anger by how I'm feeling about them? You know, we are all connected. We are all one. as you said, we think the ego helps us believe that we are billions of people when we're actually just one. And I get glimmers of that, and they're fleeting. And when I get them, I'm like, whoa, that's amazing. For the past year and a couple of months, I've had rainbows on my ceiling that can't be explained. I've taken pictures of them. I've shown them to people, and they can't believe it. Yesterday, I asked a butterfly, or Saturday, I asked a butterfly who was on a flower at Franklin Canyon, which you should definitely go experience that. I call it my national park, and it's not far from you if you're in Brentwood. I walked over to the flower with my little stepdaughter and my fiancé, and we asked the butterfly, is it okay if we introduce ourselves to you, and is it okay if we experience you, and do you want to meet us? And he flapped twice, and I said, okay, great. So I put my finger out, and the butterfly climbed up on my finger. It was a monarch. It was gorgeous. And I said, okay, so this is Hannah. And Hannah said hello, and I said, Hannah, do you want to hold the butterfly? She said no. Then I asked my fiancé, do you want to hold the butterfly? He said no. And the butterfly had me ask them, where else in your life are you withholding joy? And so they both put their hands out at that point, and I set the butterfly down. We all three put our palms up, touching in a circle, and the butterfly walked off my finger into our hands and walked in circles around each of our hands.
Wow.
And it was incredible, Gary. And it was something that none of us will ever forget. It was total divinity. And after the butterfly had gotten to know us a little bit and hung out with us a little bit, I said, okay, so are you ready to now depart and go back to your flower? And he flapped twice, and I took him with my finger and put him back on the flower, and then we went off and hugged a tree. So it was the most incredible experience. So those things are happening all over the place, and I'm getting all this winks from God and validation of exactly what you're saying. And I'll bet everybody listening are having their own version of that in their lives, that they would just be still for a minute and think about it. I mean, tonight's sunset was amazing. Amazing. It's like we just said, hello, God, you know,
yeah.
Because it was pink and the full moon is coming out, and it was just after 5 o'clock. It was gorgeous. And today being 11:11, and knowing that it's the gateway and it's the beginning of all things that are becoming new, and it's a giant shift, and like you said, once you get a glimmer of that, you can't go back to the way you used to think. I'm excited for what's to come. I'm excited for our country, for our world. I'm excited for everybody, including the people who are kvetching. I'm excited for myself, wondering, am I causing them to have that reaction to me? And if so, what am I doing, and how can I correct that? And how can I turn that ship around? And where am I causing that matter? And, you know, as the Course says, be the cause, not the effect.
Yes.
And when you are, then, you know, you're having conversations like this with people around the water cooler at work.
Yeah, you know, what you're describing kind of reminds me of this idea of what the Course would call the happy dream.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's a happier dream, as the Course describes it, where his brother was his friend. And if it is not a reflection of an inward condition, then you must have a pretty good inward condition in order to be projecting that outer picture, which is so pleasant and so nice. Now, I'm not going to guarantee everybody that everything in their life is always going to be fun. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that if you do this kind of spirituality that things are always going to be good and, you know, things are always going to go well. I mean, you look at Jesus at the end of his life, things weren't exactly going good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, that's okay. The point is, it doesn't matter. Once you get to that happy dream phase, and then you can actually get into a condition where it doesn't matter what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we'll have great experiences like the ones that you just described, and I've been having them a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I also have some bad experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, it doesn't really matter. Because if your peace of mind is dependent on what is happening out there on the screen, which is just the effect, then you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But what if it doesn't matter what happens?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you could develop a kind of peace of mind in the kind of state where it doesn't matter what happens. And if it doesn't matter what happens, now you have real power. You know,
right.
Now you can have that house built on the rock instead of the sand. where no matter what happens out there on the screen, you can be happy and you can have a good state of mind regardless of what appears to be happening. And
right.
That's what real spirituality is about to me.
Yeah, and I call that uncaused joy.
Yeah, and when great things do happen, and you know, when good things do happen for us, well, it's even better. I mean, it's even more fun. You
mm-hmm.
know, so it's kind of like you can just celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Your life can become a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if things are going good, great. I mean, A Course in Miracles says that if you're with somebody and there's no problems and there's no reason for you to practice forgiveness or anything like that, then you should celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that a lot of people who are into spirituality are missing something. What they're missing is that it's okay to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay to have fun. It's okay to have a party in your life. It's okay, you know, to just enjoy yourself, and you don't have to feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people, they just think that, you know, spirituality means you're not supposed to have a good time. And here's A Course in Miracles saying that one of the characteristics of a teacher of God is joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the happy dream and being a happy learner and things like that. This is not a morose, suffering kind of a spirituality. That's religion.
Mm, right.
But Jesus, believe it or not, was not religious, and
mm-hmm.
it was never his intention to start a religion. What he was a great wisdom teacher,
mm-hmm.
and he pointed people in the right direction. He
mm-hmm.
was saying, look, this is what's worked for me, and you can see this, of course, in A Course in Miracles. It's like he's coaching you. He's saying, look, this is what has worked for me. It's a personal thing.
Yes.
You know, it's not a religion. It's a self-study course.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing where, well, you don't have to believe in things. You don't have to proselytize. You don't have to convince people that this is the only way. In fact, the Course itself says it's not the only way.
It's attraction, not promotion.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like, well, you're being pointed in the right direction by this great master,
mm-hmm.
which he was by other great masters, and which all great masters have eventually, you know, pointed people in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, now this is what worked for me, is what he's saying, and if you're interested, it'll save you a lot of time. It's not the only way,
right.
But the Course does say specifically that, you know, a chief aim of the miracle worker is to save time.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, the miracle in A Course in Miracles is forgiveness. It's
mm-hmm.
a certain kind of forgiveness, but it's the kind of forgiveness that doesn't pardon sins and make them real. It sees there was no sin, and in that view are all your sins forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I might add that only in that view are all your sins forgiven, because there's a very important law of the mind that is given by Jesus in the Course. As you see him, you'll see yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where there's really only one of us here,
mm-hmm.
and the unconscious mind knows that, and whenever you think about somebody else, is really just going to you. So however you see that person is going to determine how you feel about yourself, and it must be pretty important. Because Jesus says in the Course, never forget this. In that person, you will either find yourself or lose yourself.
Mm.
You know, and that's a pretty heavy statement. Because
yes.
it's saying, look, everything that you think about another person is just going to you, and the sooner you realize that, and the sooner you grab a hold of that and use it to your advantage, the better you're going to feel about yourself. I mean, you could solve probably 75-80% of the depression in the world simply by retraining people to think differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a study once, it was called cognitive therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And in that study, they were studying depressed people. And they assumed going into the study that all these people were depressed and, you know, they were having all these terrible thoughts, and they thought that they were having all these terrible thoughts because they were depressed. And then they did this study, and what they found was just the opposite. No, you know, these people were actually depressed because they had been having these terrible thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the thoughts came first.
Right.
And the thoughts always come first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what determines how you feel about yourself. I mean, people have no idea how good they could feel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just have no idea how great they could feel if they had a mind that was trained to think differently, which is why Course in Miracles in the workbook, it says an untrained mind can accomplish nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty heavy statement, because it's saying that, you know, most people are not really accomplishing that much.
Yeah, practice, practice, practice is the way you get to Carnegie Hall.
Definitely.
Yes.
And it's that discipline, you know, that results in the feelings and the experiences that we're going for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people, I think, they have a tendency nowadays, because of kind of the society that we live in, to kind of like jump from one thing to another.
Mm-hmm.
My teachers, Art and Persa, they described it as the spiritual buffet line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where people, you know, they keep jumping around, reading one book after another, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but at some point, I think that people should realize that they would accomplish a lot more and get better results if they found something, and it doesn't have to be A Course in Miracles. I'm not saying that that's the only way. It could be Buddhism. It could be, you know, any thought system. You know, when I was about 28 years old, I had been depressed for about 14 years, half of my life at that time.
Wow.
And I was introduced to this thing called the EST training.
Right.
And I did the EST training when I was 28, and what that gave me was a thought system.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a thought system that I could stick to, that was consistent, that gave me a new way of looking at the world, and
mm-hmm.
that snapped me out of my depression.
Mm-hmm.
And A Course in Miracles can do the same thing for people, and so can other thought systems.
Right, right. And what made, for me, from my understanding, what made Jesus so incredibly magnetic was, I feel he was impeccable with his word.
Yeah.
Impeccable with his word.
Yeah.
And for us to be wanting to be like that, what would Jesus do? Well, you can begin with being impeccable with your word. And it's a place to start. And a lot of people don't understand that their word really is so very important about their character. And if they can't be their word, then they could just, you know, let people know, I can't keep that commitment. May I recommit to a new time, a new place, a new commitment, a new thing. And keeping your word is one of the most important things, and the S training taught you that, right?
Absolutely.
And yes.
I agree with you totally. I think that Jesus was completely uncompromising.
Totally.
In
impeccable.
His way of looking at the world. And what that means also is that love and that forgiveness that you have, that you're looking at the world with, you can't withhold it from anybody.
Mm.
You know, it's like Jesus would not withhold his love and forgiveness from Judas or anybody else. It had
mm-hmm.
to be universal. You talk about impeccable. Well, here's Jesus in the Course in Miracles saying that forgiveness is not a partial attribute. It's not until it becomes a viewpoint with the universal application that it becomes wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so his idea of wisdom is a little bit different than the rest of the world. You know,
mm-hmm.
The rest of the world thinks, well, you know, I'm wise because I'm smart and I'm right. And, you know, Jesus wasn't thinking that way. He's saying, no, wisdom would be to see innocence everywhere, because if it's true that as you see him, you will see yourself, and I believe that is true,
mm-hmm.
then the only way for you to completely experience your innocence 100% would be to see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why A Course in Miracles says that everywhere the Holy Spirit looks, he sees himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now we're seeing Spirit everywhere. Now, you know, if you and I, you know, we're having dinner or something, I may not always look at you like you were Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I'm going to overlook the circumstances. I'm going to think about you as being what you really are,
mm-hmm.
which is nothing less than God.
Mm-hmm.
And if I think of you as being nothing less than God, then that's eventually how I'm going to experience myself.
Mm.
And that's why it's wisdom to
mm-hmm.
see innocence everywhere. That's why
mm-hmm.
it's wise to see Spirit everywhere. That's why everywhere the Holy Spirit looks, he sees himself, because that's the only way to experience it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a great experience to have that for yourself and to get in touch with your own innocence.
Right, yeah. Right. Are you familiar with, this happened in Hawaii, so you may know about it, and I know you've got a lot of experience in Hawaii. It's something called Ho'oponopono. Have you heard of it?
Sure, yeah.
And that's where Dr. Lin worked in a mental institute, and he healed every single person there, every patient there, by treating them as if they were already whole.
Yeah.
And everybody was eventually released, and he didn't do a thing except see them as completely whole.
Yes, and that's something that he learned from Hawaiian history. There's a great tradition of spirituality.
Yeah, I can't think of it right now, but I'm fascinated by that.
Study.
And what you're saying is a lot like that. Is he saw them as completely whole, and that just kept feeding his wholeness, which kept feeding their wholeness, and it was just such reciprocity.
Yeah. I love that, and I love Hawaii. Anybody who's read my books knows how much I'm in love with Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. And before we run out of time, Gary, I want to let our listeners know that you have the Happy Dream Cruise, the Eastern Caribbean Cruise, on March 22nd through the 29th in 2009, and that goes Fort Lauderdale, Grand Turk, and Calcos Islands, San Juan, Puerto Rico, Phillipsburg, and St. Martin. I don't wear glasses, and maybe I should. Half Moon Bay and the Bahamas. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, that is going to be so much fun. Yeah, it's March 22nd. One of the reasons that I'd love to do these things, these cruises, is because it's week-long, and I get to spend more time with people on an individual level.
That's so great, and you're so personable to be so busy. I have to tell you, I really enjoy that about you.
Well, thank you.
You're just very personable. You're very approachable, and even though you need to keep a certain amount of anonymity and autonomy, you're still so available through your work. You've just found a way to make your presence be everywhere and allow your presence to be everywhere, and your energy is just there. I'm impressed by that. Another person who's able to do that is Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith.
Yeah, yeah.
And I aspire to be like that.
Yeah, I've met Michael several times. I've been over to Agape several times, and I love it there.
We go every Sunday. We'd love
to
invite you to come with us.
Yeah, I'd like to go on Expanded Music Night, the first Wednesday of every month, because, I mean, the music is just so fantastic there.
Oh, yeah, it really is. And they're celebrating their 22nd anniversary coming up on, I believe it's actually the 22nd. I'm not sure when it is, but they're having, you know, a big limousine bus, so you go on a ride with the Rev and end up having dinner at Shutters in Santa Monica,
yes,
and then going
yes.
back to Agape for dancing and dessert, and everyone's hosting theme parties on that day, and it's just a huge event.
Boy, you're talking about some of my favorite places here, Shutters, Agape.
Yeah. Oh, you're in our neighborhood now. So, you know, I'm surprised we haven't bumped into each other already, and I think we should do that on purpose.
Well, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So tell us about your DVDs before we run out of time. We've got exactly 4 more minutes, and I don't want to miss one thing of what you have to offer for our listeners to check up on. And again, that's www.garyrenard.com. That's spelled GaryRenard.com to find out about all of these wonderful things, and you'll see a YouTube video there and some podcasts and all the books and all those good things. So tell us about the DVD. I know you have one.
Yeah, there's so much going on. I have this DVD. It's a workshop that I did this past summer, just a couple of months ago in Denver. And these great guys named Chad and Isaac who are putting out a movie in December called Leap, which you're going to find out more about because it's a really good movie. And you can see the trailer, you know, by going to my website and going, you know, to this DVD, and boy, it is so cool. Wait to see the trailer. I mean, it's just amazing. And,
nice.
So I'm in this movie, and what they do is they made a DVD with me this past summer,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you can see it and go to the link right from my website.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, I have a new audio CD that's coming out from Sounds True. You probably know them because they record everybody, including Eckhart Tolle.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's called, you know, Fearless Love. And it's very much in harmony with what's being taught in the next book. It's not an audio book, but it's very much in harmony with what's being taught in my next book. And then the book will be out in March. And there are so many things available at my website, not just my books, but, you know, people can see my appearance schedule,
mm-hmm.
and as you know, I travel more than most people in the
yeah.
world, and I speak a great deal, and you know, so it's kind of like there's all this information at the website.
Mm-hmm.
And the
it's
DVD,
very well put together, your website.
Oh, thank you. And the DVD is really kind of like a good example of what I teach in my workshop. So my workshops vary from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
My attitude is that I let the Holy Spirit be in charge of my workshops So the Holy Spirit knows everything and knows everybody who is there. Mm-hmm. I know some of the people who were there, but the Holy Spirit knows everybody who is there. So the Holy Spirit knows what should be said.
That's wonderful.
At a workshop. And so
that's the way I conduct my radio show.
Yeah, I believe that. It's like, you know, you just put the Holy Spirit in charge.
Totally. I always invoke Spirit before my show, and it's, they're every one of them amazing. And you're saying so many things that the listeners tuned in to hear, and that I, you're definitely my messenger this evening as well. And I can't thank you enough for making yourself available to be on the show. You're just so well-loved by so many, and I'm grateful you'll be on the show again in March for the release of your book, Love Has Forgotten No One, The Answers to Life. The answer to life. Love really has forgotten no one. And where you really want to start looking for that love is within yourself. And if you don't do that, you're not going to find it anywhere else. And I just really enjoyed this conversation. If we ever had coffee together, they'd probably kick us out because we'd close the place. just from talking for hours. And you know, go to the www.GaryRenard website, GaryRenard.com, and find out the speaking events, the workshop events, and all about the cruise and everything else that's Gary's got cooking. And take a look at his new look. It's pretty cool. And welcome to California. I can't say it enough. That's awesome that you're here.
Well, thank you, Kate, and I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing. I think that your show is providing a great service for so many people, and I know that I'm not the only one who feels that way, so thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And I just want to invite everybody to stand up really tall, take a deep breath, and love yourselves, and remember the last six letters of attraction are action. So start shifting your thoughts today. It's 11:11. What a great time to do that. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. Thanks again, Gary, and have a good night.
You too. Bye.